We are so excited to announce that we have opened the doors to our private membership community, The Symposium. Inside The Symposium, you have access to all of our free and paid content, daily prompts to pull to, live monthly workshops, reading room Zooms, and monthly virtual meetups. We also host monthly challenges and have a lively and engaged community, as well as tarot spread and resource libraries. The Symposium is an incredible community of like-minded folks who value the intersection of tarot, mental health, self-reflection, and personal growth. We're really excited to meet you all inside the symposium. So head over to thetarotdiagnosis.com and click Join the Symposium today to become a part of our community.
You're listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. We're your hosts. I'm Luna.
And I'm Shannon. We're both clinical psychotherapists who trained together at Johns Hopkins.
Now we are both in private practice in Tampa, Florida, and in Baltimore, Maryland.
We also both happen to have a love for tarot.
Each episode, we work to demystify the tarot and explore its connections to mental and emotional health.
While this podcast may feel therapeutic, it is not meant to take the place of psychotherapy.
Join us while we pull cards to better understand ourselves and those around us.
Hey, Luna.
Hey, Shannon.
So today we are talking about the truth about defensiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably going to be a pretty meaty topic. And I think it's probably something you and I both explore quite a bit in our practices. I think the idea of defensiveness is fascinating because when we're being defensive, I think we're desperately trying to get others to kind of see our perspective or our side of something, but we don't realize that really what's happening is we're putting up this kind of intense wall of disconnection. And it makes truly understanding someone else or being understood and truly connecting with someone kind of impossible. And actually, now that I think about it, I didn't pull this card for the episode, but now that I think about it, it's given very like Four of Cups vibes.
Oh, okay. So thanks for all of that. As we said, as we were just about to record, I was like, I don't really know what we're doing. And it was your turn to intro it. And that was beautiful, the way you talked about that. So
thank you.
Yeah, that was really great. And I'm like sitting here like, kind of licking some of my personal wounds, thinking, wow, that's spot on. That's exactly right. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, defensiveness is something that we both work on in our practices. It's something I work on in my own life. And it's something that, I mean, I think is so, it's so very tender, because the reason why we're being defensive is because there's a wound there, or because there's something that's hurt there. And helping somebody see that it's safe, or recognizing when it is safe or when it's not safe, is kind of a big deal. But this sort of knee-jerk reaction that so many of us have around becoming defensive is, it's really very common. And I love that it Four is. Of Cups with that, by the way. That was really smart.
Yeah. As I was kind of processing it in my head, talking about it out loud, I was like, oh, this is totally like a Four of Cups conversation, at least the imagery for me, like that's what comes up, you know. And hearing you talk about defensiveness from your perspective also makes me remember too, kind of like, you know, when we're in a dialogue with somebody and we're feeling defensive or the other person's defensive, we often don't realize it, but we're really just listening to respond instead of listening to truly understand what's happening. And I think that's kind of the goal of the goal of working on defensiveness is trying to break that cycle by acknowledging our role. Like, okay, are we the person who's just listening so that we can respond, we can one-up someone, or we can get our point across? Or am I truly present in what's happening right now, and I'm actually listening to understand? And I think navigating that is actually a really uncomfortable process.
Oh, yes. You know, it's funny, right before we started, I just pulled a card, as I sometimes do, typically, and I pulled Four of Wands. And I was like, what on earth am I going to do with this? But I just grabbed that Four of Cups. It's funny that these are kind of the starter cards without having pulled a card.
Right.
I mean, when you get two fours, I have to kind of say, like, those two seem to go together. And the way you just talked about that made sense to me. That Four of Cups moment of, I'm going to sit here and protect myself, and I'm sort of going to be closed off to what's being offered to me, and I'm going to think about what I want to say rather than what you're saying, is a kind of a closed moment of, I don't know, not celebration, that was really articulate of me, versus working on it, being able to sort of open up a little bit, being able to say, okay, I hear what you're saying. Can you please listen to me? And then really having a moment of understanding each other. That's actually very Four of Wands, this moment of absolute celebration.
I'm kind of nerding out right now. So while you were talking, I was like, let me look up what the number four means. Ooh, yeah. This is interesting. And so Google.
Thanks, Google.
University of Google says it represents support and stability. It's just so cool if we think about it because, right, this maladaptive approach to defensiveness, which is an inherent human experience. Every single one of us has been, will be, or is defensive in some way. It's just a part of being human. But I think the goal is to try and manage it. But underneath all that, I think, is this drive to feel supported, to be supported, to feel stable. So when we think about Four of Cups, that person is firmly rooted on the ground, right? Like they are fully sitting under this tree, arms crossed, a few cups down below in front of them. The one cup they don't want is the one cup that's not grounded or rooted in stability. And then you have these Four of Wands that are firmly planted in the ground and represent, you know, this celebration, which when you're celebrating, you typically do feel supported and stable. So that's really cool.
So cool. You know, I pulled the Four of Wands. Oh, I'm so excited about this. I pulled the Four of Wands from Spacious Tarot, which is just the deck I wanted to grab today. And it's interesting because it's a slightly different image. It's just four wands and their tips are lit up very Harry Potter style. And I think that that's actually a really nice representation of this concept of this celebration of, oh, we're all connecting. All of our fires are being lit. But I nerded out and grabbed Four of Swords and Four of Pentacles while we're at it. And boy, that this is an interesting place to begin. If we're talking about being defensive, what you're saying is so true, that we get defensive because we don't feel stable, we don't feel heard, we don't feel safe. And how do we manage that? We could go Four of Cups. We could also go to Four of Swords of I'm just going to check out and like go and rest. Or we could Four of Pentacles, which is getting like really clingy and grabby to like, no, me. Yeah. And what we really want in this case is Four of Wands, where we all light up and we all connect and we can celebrate.
This is so fascinating. We never know what's going to happen when we hop on here. And now here we are talking about the fours. And this is just, I'm so excited right now. So one of the cards that I pulled to guide the episode was also Four of Swords. And I wasn't sure what to say about it, but I'm pulling from, which eventually we're going to have to actually kind of pull our card like we always do. But I'm pulling from Tarot of the Divine today. And the Four of Swords, this imagery is not the traditional imagery that you would see like when you were talking about kind of like rest and rejuvenation. Tarot of the Divine kind of shows this. And actually, last episode, when I pulled Four of Swords too, and that imagery was like super interesting. But Tarot of the Divine shows this kind of like primal looking creature, kind of wolf-like. I forget exactly what it is. I don't have the Beneath the Moon book next to me, but he's tied up. There's three swords in the foreground, and then there's a sword just puncturing right through his mouth.
Oh.
And yeah, I mean, there's some blood. It's just, it's not a restful looking card, but it's super interesting to apply to this topic because I think it's a truth telling card. So, you know, like I said earlier about we often listen to respond instead of listen to understand. I think this is kind of a warning of what happens when we're reactive and defensive. You know, we often don't give ourselves or other people for that matter, permission to pause and reflect, which I think goes back to kind of the rest and rejuvenation aspect of Four of Swords. So when we do pause and really kind of reflect on what's truly happening with either us or this other person in the moment, that's when like growth can happen and we can kind of lay down the defensiveness. But, you know, I think this image of being tied up and stabbed in the mouth is really just telling us to shut up and listen once in a while.
Oh my gosh, that's really powerful. It's like disturbing.
It is.
I don't love that, but I love what you're what you did with it. Like, I think that's so well said. And, you know, I was thinking earlier when you were talking about how when people become defensive, they are respond, like they're listening to respond rather than to listen. I mean, I think that what's so fascinating about that moment, again, as somebody who like has this in my own life, like it is something I've worked on for many years and it's much better than it used to be, but still it's a thing. I know that I am unaware when I'm becoming defensive. Or I used to be. Now I'm a little bit more aware. But in that moment, you get so caught up in listening in order to respond, also so that you can protect yourself. But like, yes. It's really about the other person being wrong more than recognizing, oh, this is triggering me or I'm sort of getting upset. I'm blind to it when it happens.
I like that you explained how it can feel sometimes. And what the experience can be like, because it's really important to remember that either as someone who is defensive or someone who's experiencing someone who's defensive.
Right.
Because if, you know, to use your example, like if you are being defensive and you're blind to it, like you're saying that's your how you feel about it, whoever's with you experiencing your defensiveness, it's important for them to know that that's what happens to you.
Yeah.
Because they might then just react to you instead of being a little bit more curious about your experience. Now we're kind of getting into the, well, how do you deal with someone who's defensive or your own defensiveness? You get curious. We should be asking each other, you know, what's happening for you right now?
Right.
Or once maybe the dust has settled a little bit, hey, you got really defensive earlier. Can you walk me through what that's like for you? And I know that sounds really therapy-like, and it might not feel like super organic to say that, but you know, it's still important to say something similar to that in your own words that feels like authentic to you. But the goal here is to learn about what other people are going through and experiencing so that we don't automatically internalize it and make it about us.
Well, I mean, what you just said, oh my gosh, we really are getting into meaty stuff. I mean, and I kind of want to do a nod of Two of Cups here, kind of next to that Four of Cups around a really good way to work on defensiveness is having somebody who can let you know and point it out and ask that question. And it doesn't always have to be sound therapy. Like I was right. Trying to think of like, what does my partner say to me? There's definitely a couple phrases that are said and they are not therapeutic sounding, but I do feel safe when they're asked, but they're challenging. It's kind of like, why are you, I don't even know what it is. It's sort of like, why are you making this about you doing something wrong? It's sort of what he'll say sometimes. I'm like, I'm not. Oh, I totally am. That is exactly what's happening right here. But you need to have that relationship in order to trust that feedback. But in order to have that relationship, there's that Four of Cups moment of you have to be able to be open to it. And this is where I think a lot of people get stuck and chronically defensive is that they never are able to find kind of the place in the loop to jump out and say, okay, I'm going to listen for a second. So Two of Cups seems to be the answer to Four of Cups in this conversation.
You know, it's interesting that you brought Two of Cups up because it was kind of just like hanging around in my head this morning, just thinking about the episode. But I didn't pull it. So I'm glad that you brought it up because I do think it's an important card to explore with defensiveness, but there's something that you're talking about is also bringing up some stuff for me because you mentioned, you know, kind of the relationship dynamic and, you know, the role that we play or our partner, whoever, you know, a friend or a family, whoever we're, or a coworker or boss, whoever we're experiencing this with, you know, there needs to be a level of trust there. Mm-hmm. And that can be difficult. That's a whole other topic, like exploring trust, which I don't know. Have we done an episode on trust yet? If not, we need to.
I think we have, but
I feel like, yeah. But I also think that there's a level of trusting ourselves because if we can't trust this person, yeah, that we're being or feeling defensive around. And you might hear me, I guess, talk about being and feeling because I think being defensive and feeling defensive, that's a whole other conversation too. But if we can't trust the person that we are feeling reactive towards or the person that's being defensive towards us, because it can go both ways, mm-hmm. We need to make sure that we are at least trusting ourselves in that moment. And are we doing the work to feel like we can trust ourselves in our experience and what's really happening?
I feel like you just dropped a hammer. Like that was huge what you just said. And that does kind of go back to that Two of Cups, doesn't it? Around this idea of maybe I'm being defensive because this person actually is known to kind of slip in these little attacks,
right,
or these like aggressions, or I know that I, at any given moment, I could say something and this person's going to flip it around. Okay. So yeah, I'm acting defensive. Would you like to know why? It's because I'm a dog who's been kicked 100 times. And
right.
I think you're right to say that sometimes we need to step back. Maybe that's when we start working with a therapist and you have somebody else who's kind of helping you check your thinking. Am I being defensive or am I being reasonably protective here? And sometimes we really need help sorting out that type of thinking.
Yeah, I love that you use the word, you know, protective, because I think we can also get defensiveness and protectiveness mixed up. Are we truly protecting ourselves in this moment, or are we just being defensive? Because if we're able to trust ourselves and we feel like we've done some good work and we're growing, but we're being faced with this person who is being incredibly reactive and very defensive, the answer isn't to be defensive back in order to protect ourselves. The answer is to be curious, check in with yourself and say, okay, what do I need right now? Is this really a good position for me to be in? Do I need to step away? Do I need to figure out how to maybe diffuse the situation a little bit? What does that even look like? And then there was something you said a moment ago of just kind of like knowing the dynamic, or, you know, you said, maybe I'm being defensive because this person typically does X, Y, and Z, so I do have to be defensive. I think that's a really important part of understanding how to react in these situations. Mm-hmm. So if you know that you're going to be around someone who activates you or triggers you or has an unhealthy pattern of communication with you, almost preparing yourself for what is to come is probably actually going to decrease the likelihood of you being defensive. Because if you're like, sure, you're on your way to like a family reunion or something, and you're in your head going, oh, you know, so-and-so is going to be there and he's going to do this or she's going to do that, or they're going to say this, whatever. And then you're in your head already having a fight with them. Guess what's going to happen when you get there? You're going to be on edge. You're going to be ready to go, and you're going to be defensive back, reactive, and it's not going to do anyone any good. But if you're in your head going, all right, they might say this, they might do that, who can I go to? What can I do instead? And play out a scene that actually feels safe and not dangerous. The likelihood of you going through that process and feeling and doing the thing that's better for you and healthier in the long run is more likely to happen.
Okay. I just had the coolest thing happen. I'm pretty excited about it. Everything you just said, by the way, so, so smart, so, so right. And I think you're right. I think that if we sort of are aware of the fact that we're being defensive, defensive is not sort of like, oh, it's okay if you're defensive, if you're being protective. I think like what your point there is, right, so well made. Like you're still being defensive and like, it's not a good look. You're not cute and nobody's going to listen to it either.
Right,
but
right,
recognizing that like, okay, I get where it's coming from. It's not me sort of having an irrational reaction. And so I grabbed Nine of Wands, which is a card I don't like interact with very often, but right now feels so, so powerful, because this is what Nine of Wands feels like to me. This like, boy, this person has been just beat up. And this is where we see defensiveness. Maybe your boss is saying something to you that is perfectly fine, but because of everything that happened to you before, you feel Nine of Wands, you're feeling really beat up. You know, you got your head in a tourniquet, you know, like you're clinging to this wand. You kind of have these like pathetic sticks behind you as if they are going to protect you. Like, I got this, you know? And I feel such compassion for this guy in the card. And as you were talking, I was thinking just, okay, well, what happens if I just pull a card to clarify that in terms of like, what can I do when I'm feeling Nine of Wands? And I pulled Judgment, which feels so poetic and beautiful and exactly right. Being able to have that moment of, I feel Nine of Wands, I feel really vulnerable, I feel really beat up. And what can I turn to? I can turn to Judgment. And that Judgment can be, how do I want to be in this situation? And can I trust myself in this situation to say, I know what's right or wrong, or I know that what was just said about me is untrue, or I also know that I'm not behaving well right now. I can see that I've been triggered. And so I need to kind of take a step back. But that Judgment card feels so important when we talk about defensiveness.
That's interesting. I feel like Judgment has come up a few times the last few episodes. And you do such a great job kind of reframing it as, am I in alignment with myself? I think that's how you talk about it. Am I doing it justice? Is that what you say?
I usually say highest self, but like, okay, self, you know, but self, I mean, like, yeah, it's am I in alignment?
Yeah. And I wonder, well, actually, one of the cards I pulled, because you're talking about wands, I pulled five of wands.
Yeah. And yeah, totally.
Right. Yeah. So it's this like competition, kind of fierce battle card. And it can be really difficult. Like, even if we were to put that next to judgment, like when you are like, Tarot of the Divine does a good job because, I mean, they're just like in this like tangled mess of wands. And when you are just really deep in it, how do you access that judgment energy of, am I in alignment with my highest self? It can be really difficult to kind of reach for. And I think this is one that's where therapy comes in, like doing the work, but also reminding yourself, none of us are perfect. We're going to have moments where we are able to say, you know, embrace that kind of judgment energy and say, oh, this is, you know, I need to be doing this instead or whatever. But we're also going to have those moments where we kind of slip up and we screw up and we still are just with our wands thinking we have to fight this battle and only focused on who's going to win and who can state their point the best. But I think when that happens, you can still do something about it. So like when I'm kind of feeling defensive, for example, you know, and I've done a lot of work. So like I do my best to not get there. But like you said earlier, it happens to us. So I'll notice when I'm in this Five of Wands moment, and as much as I don't want to do it, I will say, hold on, I'm doing that thing again. I hear what you're saying, or I need to pause. Can you repeat what you're saying?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not enjoyable. It is fucking painful. I don't like to do it, but it feels better afterwards. But
I mean, I have to ask, that was so incredible what you just said, but do you do that with everybody, or are there only some people who you gift that to?
That is a funny question. Mainly my partner.
Yeah.
Of course. Right.
Of course.
And other people that I think I truly feel safe enough to do that with. I'm glad that you asked that question, because like there are some people in this world that I wouldn't feel safe giving that level of vulnerability to,
right?
Because they haven't earned that. They're just not safe. And so in that situation, if I find myself still in that Five of Wands and I can't reach that judgment card, I will do my best to just walk away and reflect later on, but then give myself some compassion at the end of the day and say, of course I got pulled in. Of course, I was hooked and just reeled in. Like, how could I not have been? But I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen as intensely next time.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've just offered so much wisdom already today. It's sort of talking about being in the car, going to the family reunion and sort of getting worked up beforehand is like a good example of how we get there. And I love what you said about like taking that breath and saying, okay, I'm doing that thing, or can you say that again? I'm just like, it's like I was in the room, you know, of being able to sort of see, like, that's a powerful moment with somebody who you trust very much, being able to do that. And it's just a simple question. Can you say that again? So amazing. But yeah, I think really important to recognize that there are some people who we do not and should not trust in that way. Often the people who we do not trust, it kind of happened a long time ago, or we become defensive because of what has happened to us previously, typically. And so it's really important to pay attention to what are my triggers around this? When does defensiveness show up? And sometimes somebody might look like somebody or remind you of somebody or have a word, you know, like how many of us have this? Like there's a certain phrase that just like pisses us off. And it's kind of like, look, like the person didn't mean anything, but like, that's it. We're off to the races.
I love that you said that. And it kind of reminds me. So when we were in Salem and you and I had this like epic night of like, like an all day philosophical, just like awesome conversation and just kind of like spilling our hearts to each other. I shared with you that you actually physically resemble someone who was not very kind to me for a long time and really, really hurt me. And how I do sometimes have to remind myself, Luna is not this person. Because it would be easy for me to say, oh, well, they really screwed me over. And, you know, you might say a phrase or do something, and it's so easy to then spiral and go somewhere totally different. So I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I think that also goes back to showing ourselves a little bit of compassion and checking in with ourselves and saying, I'm safe. Do I truly need to protect myself right now? What has happened that makes me believe I need to protect myself? Is that rooted in reality, or is that rooted in a past experience? Is that happening to me right now, or am I actually safe?
How many sessions have you done around, like, I couldn't count how many sessions I've done around being the person to ask somebody those questions. I mean, it's a place of honor to get to sort of say, are we 100% sure that that's what that person meant?
Because it feels so real. It feels so real. Oh gosh. And that brings me to one of the cards I also pulled was the Justice reversed. And the way I was thinking about that card was a card of like illusion, or
totally
like, almost like a false promise of control, or even to be so concrete with the card, a false promise of justice.
Yes.
that defensiveness gives us, especially maybe when we're struggling with being triggered, past traumas, or if we're struggling with like low self-esteem or low self-worth, that reverse justice energy is just amplified because we're already super low. So like, you know, the last thing we want or need is, you know, a reminder of, you know, some sort of past painful experience, or even just a reminder of our own imperfections, because that's often when we become defensive, when we're kind of faced with something that we don't like about ourselves.
You know, I love this card right now, because I feel like that's funny. This is my episode, because I'm like, it's like this card. Oh, it's like this card. Oh, no, it's definitely like this card. And reverse justice. Yes, that is. So I think that really shows up with defensiveness, because it's just not fair. And how much of that sensation of it's just not fair is about the conversation that I'm in right now, and how much of it is about my entire life. But also, what do we want to do with the concept of, sometimes things just aren't fair? I mean, again, that's one I do a lot of sessions around, things that are not fair. And trying to find our peace around a situation that maybe wasn't fair. And then the scars that come from that, which then can show up in a conversation, you know, with our friend 10 years later.
Yeah, I love the way you're describing that. It reminds me of, I had a supervisor who, she was awesome. She would kind of draw out stuff, and I'm like, I'm a visual person. So it was really helpful. I think she had picked up on that. So when we were talking about exactly what you're talking about, she would draw these little like shapes, and she would just like, you know, create little like lines or X's or whatever. And she's like, okay, this like blob here is representative of us as a person. And all of these little bits in here are all the shit that you've gone through. And, you know, this other little blob might come into your life, and, you know, they're saying stuff to you and you don't realize it, but sometimes they it's like a magnet, right? And they're just like grabbing hold of these little things that you have inside of you that are past experiences or memories or thoughts or narratives that you've created about yourself that may or may not be true. So when you don't take a moment to really do the work, to dive deep and do self-reflection and, you know, do therapy or do shadow work or whatever, all of that stuff just gets pulled out. And now it's being spewed back at this person in front of you and this person over here. And it's like spilling into your work and your relationships. And it's just totally uncontrollable. It's a mess everywhere. It's like a tornado came through.
Yeah.
Versus when you are paying attention to kind of what's going on in this like internal landscape that you have, right? Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, and I love garden metaphors, so I'll go that way, because I said internal landscapes. Now that's where my brain is going. So, you know, you can say, oh, it's time to tend to this over here, and this needs to be harvested, or this needs to be pruned, or this needs to be watered. And just taking the opportunity to check in with yourself. You know, today we're recording this on the autumn equinox. So it's like, you know, even if you want to do it seasonally, hey, what needs to be tended to right now? What maybe has been neglected over, you know, this last season that I do really want to spend some time focusing on now? Maybe it is defensiveness. And just like gifting yourself that, because we're not often taught that it's okay to do that.
Oh, I love what you just said about gifting it to yourself and the idea that if you are aware that sometimes you can become a little defensive and that the idea of working on that can actually be a gift to yourself. Like, it just feels so sweet to me. It feels so like almost like Six of Cups-ish, you know, like yeah. This, like giving your younger self some flowers and saying like, oh, look, there's this thing inside of you that feels really icky and it's really old and it keeps getting touched, you know, it's like a sore that's open. And so what we can do is actually we can go and like, let's clean it out and, you know, put a Band-Aid on it and some Neosporin and let's see if we can do some work because that defensiveness, like that makes you feel like shit. And so let's do the work to gift yourself so that it doesn't feel, because I mean, I can get defensive in my head in a conversation that I am having that is completely made up. Which I think other people can understand that. I hope I'm not the only, the only one, you know, where you have these imaginary conversations and what you're trying to do is defend yourself rather than trying to heal the hurt, rather than taking sort of that Three of Swords and turning it upside down. Whenever we're getting defensive, we're just re-experiencing old pain. And if we can work on releasing some of the old pain, we're free of it.
Oh, that was beautiful. We're just re-experiencing old pain and we need to work on freeing it. That's really powerful stuff. And what kind of prompted me to even open the door to that conversation was I was looking down at the Hermit. And now I love that you kind of grabbed a hold of that word gift and you talked about the Six of Cups, because I think the Hermit and the Six of Cups together is actually really beautiful, because this Hermit could be a representation of yourself, or it could be your higher self, or just a you know, something that feels maybe like bigger than you. And it's kind of helping guide you through that internal landscape of yours and really trying to figure out, you know, once you've got the Band-Aid on in the Neosporin, and I love that metaphor. That was really cute. you can really then take a look at what's going on because you've tended to, you've acknowledged, you've identified the wound. And then you can take that staff or that light and kind of like start hunting around and saying, okay, what's here? Where are these hurt feelings really coming from? What is this fear trying to tell me? What is this fear trying to make me feel, you know, or insert any other feeling other than fear? And then going back to what we were talking about earlier about protectiveness, like what is this defensiveness actually trying to protect us from? And are we even in any danger?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So can I put another card right next to this? Like I think what you're saying, it's so interesting to sort of talk. I mean, this has quickly turned into a conversation about healing defensiveness, which I think
really
is,
has.
Yeah. Like so good. And I think that that's right. I think that one of the problems, I think you're right. Hermit is a great way of kind of sitting with it, doing your morning pages, journaling, pulling your tarot cards and kind of challenging yourself like, okay, what's going on? But I want to pull out a card that we have not talked about in a very long time, which is Hierophant. And say that sometimes this work around defensiveness or old hurt, really, we can do a lot on our own, but often we need a guide. And I really like the Hierophant card, as you may or may not know. Like, I really like the card because I like the idea of having a teacher or somebody who's a little bit farther down the road or who has a little bit more information or a little bit more wisdom and a little bit more clarity who can help us. And I think it's a really important card that in tarot, we often sort of dismiss or ignore, but having a teacher, you know, this is very true, right? Because people who read tarot are sort of like doing it for themselves because often, probably, if you're anything like me, you're using tarot in part because you don't have very many trusted teachers. You don't have a lot of good mentors. And that Hierophant card is important because sometimes we really need that figure in our life.
I think it's funny because we tend to have like themes in our episode or things that we tend to kind of like always say. And I feel like that's one of them. And we're really just driving home the importance of community and making sure that we're not isolated and that we're continuing to reach out and feel connected to others. And I almost want to say, because there is this like kind of vibe or connotation with the Hierophant of like you having to find someone who's who is like maybe way older or way wiser or whatever, but I'm thinking about just being brave and vulnerable enough to have these conversations that you and I are having with some of your friends. I think about what the symposium has offered so many people and mm-hmm. the connections that have been built in there and the conversations that happen. Like, I feel like so many of us want that and need that. And I feel like that's also what the Hierophant is saying too. Like, you're allowed to kind of seek more knowledge and be curious. Like, that's that page energy, which I had pulled Page of Wands too. We haven't talked about yet, but you know, this idea of being curious and, you know, it's so easy for us to sit by ourselves and have all these conversations, good or bad, in our head. But, you know, when we step outside of ourselves and invite new energy in, our perspective can shift. And that's when we become more educated and our mind expands. And we can really probably heal better or quicker than if we were just trying to figure it all out on our own.
I think what you, yeah, this, everything you just said, yes, yes, yes. I think it is important to point out, like, I don't know, I'm just being geeky. I think that Hierophant energy is a little bit different than Page energy. I think you're right. Like, that curiosity piece is really important. But yeah, I think also Hierophant doesn't have to be somebody older, but it's somebody who maybe has more wisdom about a particular thing than you do and who is able to teach it and who is also able to give you reasonable feedback. So, you know, like, and that's a little different than sort of like, I think that we can have friends who are sort of more Three of Cups, and that's helpful because it's supportive. And we can have friends who can sometimes step into that role of Hierophant. I mean, I think that you and I do that for each other in some mm-hmm. ways. I mean, and I think it's actually a really good example because we have an age gap, but I mean, I definitely, there have been times where I'm like, oh, Shannon said this, you know, but I take it as a compliment because like, right. that means that I think that you have more wisdom than I do in some areas and you are able to express it. And I think you can also give me feedback. So that's like, it's a different type of a person in your life. And that can be a friend, but I also do think it can be a therapist or a mentor or yes. a really great boss, or, you know, even like one of your students in your classes, you know, like, it can be somebody. It's not about age. It's about wisdom.
Yes. I'm glad that you emphasized that because I do think that's an important aspect. And I realize like this is the first time I think maybe this has ever happened. We are like basically through the episode and we never pulled like our official, should we do it as a closer?
I was thinking that earlier.
Yay.
About 10 minutes ago, I was like, you know what we should do.
Yeah. We were on the same page. All right. So let's pull a card.
What's our takeaway? So yeah. What's our takeaway?
Oh, that's nice. What's our takeaway? Okay. What deck are you using?
I'm using Spacious Tarot.
Oh, that's
my
right.
laptop is covered with my regular cards, but nice. You know, I do love Spacious. And you're using Tarot of the Divine?
Tarot of the Divine. Yes.
Such a pretty deck. What did you get?
I got I'm pretty sure this is the same card I got last episode, but it's reversed. I got the Sun reversed.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what I pulled for last week to open last week's episode.
Not in reverse, I don't think.
Right. But I think it was upright. What did you pull?
I pulled Eight of Swords.
Okay. Actually, I think the Sun and the Eight of Swords to close, like, what's our takeaway is actually really beautiful. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Eight of Swords sort of feels like just kind of saying to me, yeah, don't do that.
Right. Because like, I think it's being stuck. I think the Sun the Sun's reversed too. So, but like, I think, you know, it's difficult to experience like the growth that Sun offers when we do kind of keep ourselves stuck in that defensive mode. You know, sure, it's a coping strategy, but it is a maladaptive one. And it is our responsibility to look at it and figure out how we can maybe navigate those swords. You know, but I don't know. Like, I think maybe, Eight of Swords might be a part of like hiding ourselves too, though.
Well, it's funny that you said that thing about growth, because in this particular deck, it's eight swords around a tree, tied to a tree, and it's a winterscape, and the tree is bare. So, I mean, it's really like this, like, nothing's going to grow in the dead of winter kind of feeling. To me, it really does feel very much like this idea of, as long as I keep myself trapped in this type of thinking, in this case, we're talking about defensiveness, but it could be a different type of thinking. But as long as I keep myself or allow myself to remain trapped here, I am not going to grow and I'm not going to be happy. You know, like I do like Sun card because I like the idea of being free and feeling the warmth and joy of being alive, which I think so many people are like, that's cheesy, or I don't think that's a real thing. I think it is a real thing that we can feel warmth and joy and comfort just for being alive. And I think that that should be our goal, but it's actually a really big goal.
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, if you've been following the podcast from the beginning or on Instagram, like, we've always had this kind of like sun and moon thing, right? Where it's like, I don't like the sun. It makes me uncomfortable. And I've been doing everything I can to kind of heal my relationship with that card. And I think the way you just described that is really probably what I was experiencing, because I think there's that kind of like toxic positivity that can be attached to it sometimes. But I also like that we're talking about it in terms of a sense of freedom and growth. That's really how I've been reframing the card for myself, because I think, you know, keeping ourselves tied down, right? In that Eight of Swords moment, not exposing or acknowledging any of our flaws or imperfections or reasons behind our defensiveness means the sun can't see it, right? It's not exposed. And if the sun can't see it, that means nothing can grow in its place. Nothing new can grow in its place. Thank you so much for listening to The Tarot Diagnosis. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under the handle @TheTarotDiagnosis and join us while we pull daily cards and explore tarot and mental health in between podcast episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast to make sure that you never miss an episode. If you have a topic or question that you'd like for us to explore on the podcast, you can contact us directly on our website, www.thetarotdiagnosis.com.